This is Dean Gocher. We're picking up where we left off regarding Abram Maslow. He's known for his hierarchy of felt. See, that's dopamine needs, tying to the needs that we do have, but it's all built on experiential, sensuous needs tying us to the creation, so that man would be lovers of the creation and not lovers of God. In fact, God, if he's incorporated in anything, has to be incorporated into a partnership mindset, a dialectical God, in other words. Now, I've been covering Abram Maslow's work found in Maslow on management. So we'll continue. He writes, insofar as my own effort is concerned, it has always been an attempt to wed science with humanistic goals, to improve individual people and the society as a whole. Now, when he talks about science, you have to understand, again, Genesis 3:1-6 is a scientific method. It has to be observable. She looks at the tree. It's good for food, pleasing eyes, desire, strength, and wise. She was absolutely right, by the way, because God said it would be a tree to make them wise. They would be like him, and he's wise, so that must be good too. So it's a good tree. But what they were doing was they were humanizing. See, she became a humanist. She became an environmentalist. She became a materialist. The dialectic is the utilization of our feelings that are triggered by the environment. And then our mind looks into the environment to continue this, our sensuous need and our sense perception, what we see in the environment, and to have a sensuous experience of continuing this cycle. That's humanism. And so when Eve had a sensuous need to touch the tree, she looked into the environment, saw through sense perception the tree that was triggering the desire to touch it, and then she experienced it, sensuous experience. That's the dialectical process. Now what stops it is an authoritarian voice. It's God saying, cannot, must not, thou shalt not. Now, it's better not to do it, because if you do it, then there's chastening, there's judgment. But he's saying here, he wants to wed this dialectical process in humanistic goals. That's the hope for a better world. To improve individual people and society as a whole. And I'm just quoting from Maslow on Management, a book that was published in 1998. It was his works, mostly his works, with a foreword by Warren Bennis. He writes, this is in the same book, the goal is simply to build group companies. That's all the team building, because it's a diverse group. So you have to have diversity. There's antithesis coming in with, you're trying to change people. See, that's the agenda. Is instead of shooting people, we can get everybody in to practice the process. Then we can keep everybody around. We don't do like Lenin did, shot his infrastructure. This was transformational Marxist agenda, merging Freud Freud with psychology and Marx with sociology, social psychology. So they're going to build group companies where people can self-actualize. See, God says, humble, deny yourself. Now we have self-esteem. Self-esteem comes from group esteem. Self-esteem comes from the village. See, God above, your parent above, says, humble yourself. The village says, esteem yourself. See, that which is highly esteemed among men is, and what do you have from the village? Abomination. Look at again, what's happened to our culture. Business, Maslow writes, this is George McCown. In Maslow's book, he says business and the not-for-profits, non-profits. This is Peter Drucker was known for that. Voluntary groups. Why do people work for nothing? It's because they're getting pleasure out of it. You take food to somebody. You do something for somebody else. That's human relationship. And when they smile at you and they say thank you, you're getting dopamine. And that's the very core, the very essence of humanism. Does that mean I'm against you, feeding somebody or caring? No, that's not the issue. The issue is that is not your means to salvation. If you love the feeling from that, that's all you're getting from it. It's good, do it. But when it comes to judgment day, it won't matter, because Jesus said, "Well, say to those who say, Lord, Lord, look at all the good we've done." In your name. We made sure people were aware of your name. We promoted you. We marketed you. And then his response is, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. How do you market Jesus? You tell people you're going to suffer. You can't sell the word of God on dopamine, on pleasure. See, he's not a God of pleasure. He's given us pleasure, but it's not pleasure that's the problem. It's a love of it. And so he comes in and he gets us off the drug. He gets us off of the environment. We set our mind on things above and not on things of the earth. He says, deny yourself. That'll take care of dopamine. Pick up your cross. That'll take dopamine. The first one is private. You do it to yourself. And the second one is public. The relatives will do it to you. You know, the classroom will do it to you. The workplace will do it to you. The government will do it to you. And what has caused all of this doing to you, you doing it to yourself and society doing it to you, is because you're proclaiming God's word, his command that interferes with the love of pleasure. And so the nonprofit was all about us putting aside our differences, focusing on what we have in common, a diverse group, dialoguing. Remember, the dialogue delivers you from the cannot, where you only have choice of obey or disobey. You're frozen. There's no change in a cannot. Change can only come in dialogue. So dialogue to a consensus. Consensus means with the sensuous. And so that's what Eve was doing. She was coming to a consensus. Her feelings and the environment were in agreement. And by the way, she legitimized, empowered Satan. Satan had no power until she practiced the dialectical process, and he was the first facilitator. He had no power. His power was to get, he's the prince of the power of the air. That's influence. And so he simply influenced Eve, deceived her. That's influence. That's all the dialectic people do. They want to influence you, not persuade, because persuade is what God does. See, he comes in and says, do this, and if you don't do it, then there's the persuader. It's like the parent. You better do this or there's the woodshed. There's a persuader. And he tells you up front, these are the conditions. If you obey me, you're blessed. If you disobey me, you're cursed. And that's from Genesis to Revelation. Oh, that's not conducive to human relationship. We have a culture today, you try and tell them, do something, and man, you know, you'd be careful how they're going to treat you. So nonprofit, diverse group, dialogue and consensus over social issues, all environmental stuff, in a facilitated meeting. Ah, there's Satan. You got to make sure he's in there. Oh, he can call himself a minister. Do you know Satan has ministers of righteousness? Wow, that's what Paul says. How can you tell the ministers of righteousness of God and the ministers of righteousness of Satan? The ministers of righteousness of God. One thing you can always tell when you're approaching God, it gets hot. There's a chastening. There's a purifying. You have to die. But Satan's ministers say, oh, come on in. We love you. We care about you. We just think you have great potential. And if you work with us, we can have a wonderful life just going out there and helping other people come to know Jesus and do this group hug on our way down the broad path of social harmony. And so that's what the nonprofits were all about. By the way, that system is a Soviet system. That's the Soviet system. The diverse group dialogue into consensus over social issues in a facilitated meeting, which is the foundational structure for total quality management in the workplace, total quality leadership in the Navy, DARE COPS program for the police, HMO for your doctor's school of work for your elected officials, church growth, emergent church, and I don't know how many other acronyms. You can probably fill up books with the acronyms of institutions, all of them practicing this dialectical process. So he says business and the nonprofits have a much greater role to play in shaping the good society than any institution I can think of. Maslow writes, the best way to destroy democratic society. He actually gives us a solution. Here's how to destroy the process. Here's how to deliver America from totalitarianism, from globalism. The best way to do it, and by the way, he's actually explaining Lenin, because Lenin said it was the small business. It was the bourgeoisie, the pop and mom business. You know, when dad and mom tell you to do it this way, you better not do it the other way. And when they have a business, you better do it their way, and you better not do it another way. That's small business. Lenin's whole speech was to kill, to eliminate, to remove every small business on the face of the earth. That patriarchal business. That's all our government's doing today. You have to understand this. They're going to do supervision over every business. In the dialectical process, everybody must participate or it will not succeed. That's what they mean by we will leave no child behind. Because they're talking about the home. We've got to make sure that the home participates in the dialectical process. And it practices patricide. It's got to kill the father figure. And practice incest. That's consensus. We do the group hug. And we see the immorality that's coming out of this. They can't put the lid on it. They've opened up Pandora's box. And even though Maslow said, well, I want to make it a Pollyannian, you know, I want to put reasoning to it, and I don't, you know, it might get a little perverse, but we're going to try to keep control of it. They can't control it. It's all wicked. It's all debauchery. It doesn't matter how educated you are. The best way to destroy democratic society, to destroy the process, would be by ways of industrial authoritarianism, which is anti-democratic in its deepest sense. In other words, go back to private business. See, let free market. Leave the citizens alone. Let them mass produce on their own, and you'll destroy the process. Oh, they're not going to let that happen. Government today is not going to let that happen. No, it's site-based management. Then he writes, we don't know the answer to the question. What proportion of the population is irreversibly authoritarian? Oh, there must be a remnant out there. They must know there must be some out there who aren't going to bend their knee to this process. Maslow continues, it has been the tendency of our military. Wow, now in his books, he talks about everything, education, work, church, religion, you know, government, but he also includes the military. He said, it has been the tendency of our military with their authoritarian view of life. What's that? They're defending sovereignty. This is our land and not your land. And then he says to be on the side of dictators. In other words, now, whether a dictator is good or not, here's the issue. All authority is of God. And so it's not power. The dictator can have power. The president has power. But he's in an office of authority. Now, if he's in an office of power, then he can use his sword and do whatever he wants, and you don't have any defense. You can't even die with a clear conscience because you have to obey higher authority. But in this case, if you say higher power, then may the force be with you, and you're caught in the cosmic forces. You're found. You're in the world that's going to be judged. You can't get out of it. But Romans 13 says, yield, in proper translation from the Greek, yield to the higher authority. All authority is of God. So if the dictator is under God, the children obey your parents in the Lord, desire of the heart of the wife is to her husband, it must be under the Lord, and husbands rule under the Lord, it's all under the Lord, all in that civic law. And so if a dictator is serving and protecting the citizens and punishing the wicked, even though he's a dictator, he's in an office, not as a tyrant. Now, if he's using the office for himself, he's a tyrant. So even with social psychologists, when the UN comes in and they want authority without authority, because they don't want a top-down system, but they want to be on top. See, that's the trickery of the dialectic. That's a trickery of psychology and counseling. They'll come in and counsel your home, and they say, oh, no, we're not taking your children away from you through counseling, though they are, because they've literally destroyed the husband's authority in the home. You cannot bring anything but a patriarchal counsel into the home. If it's dialectical, it will destroy the home. So he's saying, okay, the military is always on side of these people that are going right and wrong and black and white and sheep and goats and have heaven and hell. They're always calling everybody who's patriarchal authoritarian. God is an authoritarian. Jesus is an authoritarian. And anybody who thinks like him is an authoritarian. God is a dictator. The parents are dictators. We have grown men who are nothing but children, rebellious, sulking, bitter children. But they have guns. See, now they have power. And then he says, including I would say, including constitutional republic, limited government. Rather than, he says, now the military is not, they're not tending to go this way, rather than people's revolutionary movements throughout the world. In other words, the military are on our side to overthrow civil government and replace it with totalitarianism. Shame on them. He says, I would stress to the military the huge number of man hours which could be used for education. Well, what's that mean? Well, coming to the schools, get with the kids, dialogue, how do you feel, what do you think, and help wash from your brain a patriarchal, sovereign, constitutional republic, limited government, inalienable rights system, with the kids. And then he says, used for social services. No, your military is to protect the nation. No, now they're going to be social services, which means they're going to be in the nation for psychotherapeutical and growth fostering activities of all sorts in order to make better citizens. You apply this to the police. You can apply this to folks, every institution on the face of the earth. Remember, I said, it's not successful till no one can escape. Everybody must participate. This is the Antichrist. It is all about the destruction, the annihilation, as Marx said, of a patriarchal paradigm. Well, the dialectic, again, I just recap this. The dialectic is a way of thinking that we find in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. You can go to college and you can study Hegel and Marx and Kierkegaard and Nietzsche, existentialism, pragmatism, John Dewey. You can cover all the isms. This is the very same structure of Kabbalism and Gnosticism, the Babylonian religions. You can't escape it. There's nothing new under the sun. It's man simply trying to find identity and purpose in life, and without God directly revealing to him, to us, who he is, revealed, revelation, the only God we can find, we can know there is a God. Why? Because there's order in the creation. There are laws. They're preset. Somebody had to do it. Of course, the evolutionists love the theory thing. We're going to practice theory because Marx said we must treat every truth and every ideal as an opinion, as a theory. Because if it's not a theory, if it's not an I think, then we have to say 2 plus 2 is 4 and cannot be any other number. The only way I can deliver myself from that rigid way of thinking is to say, well, I think 2 plus 2 is 4. And then I can't say, and it cannot be any other number because I'm not sure. I'm uncertain. There is no certainty. There are no absolutes. Everything is relative to the situation. And I keep saying this over and over and over, folks, that every teacher in your community, every certified teacher in California, they want homeschooled parents to be certified teachers. Why? Because every teacher has to learn to apply Genesis 3, 1 through 6, that pattern, that diabolical, Satan-facilitated pattern. They have to learn how to develop a curriculum. That's Benjamin Bloom's Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 1 and Book 2. Every certified teacher has to learn those books. I call them secularized Satanism. Intellectualized witchcraft. That's all they are. They just simply follow the same pattern. Get your senses involved. Look into the environment, what stimulated the senses. Use critical theory to do higher order thinking skills, to reattach or to attach, or, you know, through imagination of the heart, to, you know, imagination and dreaming today and everything that's visualizing and goal making and all that in groups is to reattach man to the creation and negate, wash from the brain any event, any experience, any praxis. See, that's not a bad word. The Bible says, lie not one to another. See, Satan was the first liar. What was his lie? You can do it without God. You don't have to ask God for everything, do you? Well, that's what Jesus did. I can do nothing. I can do nothing. See, you can do nothing without God's direction in your life. See, the best you've ever done, the best I've ever done in my life is as a filthy rag. It's only Christ in me. It's only God's work in me that is any good. So it's the goodness and the holiness and the pureness and righteousness is not in me. It's in Him in me. See, the temple or the tabernacle is just a building. And this is a tabernacle. You have a tabernacle. And it is just flesh. And you can quote scripture all day long, but without Him in it, you're reprobate. That's what Jesus was saying about the scribes and Pharisees. You know, white tomb sepulchres full of dead man's bones. And so you can quote scripture. In fact, it's interesting when every minister, if you want to use that word, that's in Church Growth Emerging Church, they're not in love with the Word of God. None of them. They cannot handle the pure Word of God. They will do everything possible. They will squirm. They will intellectualize. They'll do everything possible to move away from the authority of God's Word. They've got to humanize it. Why? Because they love the respect of men. They love the praise of men. And if you preach the Word of God, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to offend people. Of course, they might preach good sermons once in a while, actually do that. But then they'll undo the damage. See, that's how they would see it. We'll undo the damage. We'll draw them in because, you know, we need the old timers because they're the ones who bring the money into the church. And we'll have a separate service for them because we don't want to offend the young. We want to keep the dopamine flowing. We're still working on the old. If they're both in the same room, then the old folks are going to close us down. So we'll just give them over in the little corner and we'll make sure they're happy because we need their money. You know, it's all about money. It's all about change. Cash. See, and they call this the love of the Lord. No, it's the love of pleasure, the love of the respect of men. There is yet today, I've been sharing for 12 years on the church growth, there is not one man who calls himself a Christian who's in the church growth process that is in love with the Word of God. They're in love with the opinions of men of the Word of God. They're in love with what Eve did in the garden. They're in love with what Adam did in the garden. But they're not in love with what Jesus did in the temptation. They refuse to deny themselves before a holy and pure and righteous God and seek His face and humble themselves and be totally committed to Him. No, what they're doing is taking polls and surveys. We have a new Bible. Tim Clem, a friend of mine, he says, we have a new Bible. It goes like this. Go away, therefore, and take polls and surveys. My Bible says, teach and preach. You know the truth. God gives you the truth. You preach and teach it. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. That's your word. That's your life. It's His word. And apart from His word, you have no life. You simply have your flesh. And flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. What they've done is merge the two. Now we have a loving God who will work with our flesh. I took a college class on church growth. And the teacher up there said, if the church is led by the Holy Spirit, it's led by no one. See, that's dialectical thinking. You need the flesh working with God. You need this dialectical thinking. Environment stimulates dopamine. The mind thinks about what created it. We want more of it, so we look into the environment. Now we can grow the church. What we'll do is we'll make sure that we create an environment in the church that will satisfy people's dopamine. That's nothing different than what the Baroque system was all about when the Catholic Church wanted to undo Protestantism because men were willing to stand and die for the scriptures, for the Word of God. What they did was they didn't want to lose their people under their control out of groupthink. So they made the sanctuaries full of dopamine. They made sure Mary looked seductive so the men could sit there and get dopamine during the service. And they made sure that whoever was quote-unquote preaching was simply sharing his opinion of God's Word. So they never heard the Word of God's Word so they could stand alone with God. Because the individual is of no worth apart from the group. That's Karl Marx. In fact, transformational Marxists simply consider the Catholic Church a religious form of Marxism. And that's why the Protestants have gone into Catholicism, because they're no longer confrontational, because they no longer have a position, because they're no longer in love with the Word of God. They're in love with man, they're in love with themselves, and so they've redefined God, liberation theology. I have a whole article on that too, on my website, authorityresearch.com. Liberation theology is simply redefining God, cutting and pasting, rearranging scriptures. Now, they know the scriptures. And therein, making God readily adaptable, limiting his power so that we can work with God to create a better life here. Folks, it is God's work. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. It's his work. And he says, my kingdom is not of this world, it's his work. Say, he's the one who's going to perform the work. Otherwise, it's work salvation. And as I just read today, that's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You're going to be a part of the working of the one world order. The Antichrist cannot function without working people. Workers of the world unite for the cosmic cause. And, of course, all the nations are going to unite on the common cause, except for one in the Middle East that Abraham was told to go and create. Because God said, wherever you mark territory, use this word. This is my land and not your land. That's patriarchal language. No other culture on the face of the earth has been given that language. All the rest of the cultures are nomadic. You know, they just showed up and used force and kept their place. But God didn't say to America, this is my land and not your land. Now, you can say that. You have property rights. Not anymore, because if you don't pay your taxes, see, you lose your property. So you're just a servant of the king. That's amazing. And Massachusetts was the first state that had property taxation, which was, I think it was 50 or 48 or 46. Nebraska was the last in 1932. And see, today, we don't have property. Well, Israel is the only nation on the face of the earth given property rights. God told them, this is my land, not your land. And so all the nations are going to go there to get rid of the patriarchal language. Well, got to close, running out of time. This is Dean Gocher. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in him with everything you've got. Give it all to him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Lean not to your own understanding. That's dialectical. And that let him be the one who directs your paths. Asking him daily, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Letting him be your guide. It is not in you to direct your steps. It is only his calling and his leading that gives you purpose in life. Not man, but God.